97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Happy you could be with us here. It's a Thursday morning. It is a few minutes after 6, and we're trying to keep up with all the news. I think I saw my favorite meme again yesterday. It was a picture of Jim Cantore of the Weather Channel standing in front of a storm-ravaged beach, and it said, "Hi, I'm Jim. If you're new to Florida, I'll be your tour guide." Right? That's what's happening. They've got another hurricane, Helene, coming ashore. It's coming up the coast of Florida. Well, it's coming up the west coast of Florida right now, sort of headed toward the panhandle. And they're expecting storm surges in Tampa, St. Pete, and all that. And then it's going to get a little worse as it gets to the north. They think there could be 15, 20-foot storm surge from this thing.
Which they were saying was unsurvivable.
I heard that. I mean, obviously, if you were in the middle of it, I don't know what the category is on the storm right now. But
I heard four is what it was supposed to escalate to. I don't know what it's at right now.
Well, we're going
to
get a live report from down there around 7:35 this morning. One of the people who's being paid to stand out in the storm and report on it.
God bless them, because, man, you and I used to do that, not for hurricanes. Well, at least I never did that, but for, you know,
tornadoes and snowstorms.
Right, pouring down rain. It's raining out here.
It's a thankless job.
Stay inside. I'll stand outside.
Somebody's got to do it. And we're going to get a report from one of the Fox weather reporters coming up at about 7:35 this morning. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Dr. Paula Price. Because she is the founder of Price University, and she's got a few thoughts on Kamala Harris, who's decided politically as a photo op, it might be a good idea if she goes back to the border for like the second time since she was named a border czar, because she went to Taco Bell, but that run for the border didn't count, right? So she needs to go back and be seen at the border. With the wall in the background, I imagine.
I wonder what she's going to say. I mean, how did she defend the fact that she was dubbed Border Czar despite her trying to distance herself from that title? And then she's gone, like you said, one or two times total.
She was never the Border Czar. Stop saying that.
Except
that I have the montage of all the media at the time saying, today, Joe Biden declared her the Border Czar. So there you have it. Anyway. All right. Carl, let's get to our top stories here.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
My fellow New Yorkers, it is now my belief that the federal government intends to charge me with crimes. If so, these charges will be entirely false, based on lies.
Ah, there you have it. Merrick Adams up in New York giving you a little preview of what's going to happen later today. He apparently has been indicted, and they're going to release the details on what he's accused of. It's believed that he's going to be accused of taking campaign money from the Turkish government.
Everyone must understand, you will not boost your power at Ukraine's expense. And the world has already been through colonial wars and conspiracies of great powers.
There's Vladimir Zelensky, who's in the United States. He's going to meet with Biden again later today. What did Trump call him the other day? One of the greatest salesmen on earth. Every time he comes to the U.S., we hand him another $10 or $15 billion. We'll see what happens today.
I truly believe that his legacy will be etched in the history books as Washington.
You don't have to take too many guesses to figure out Sunny Hostin is not talking about Donald Trump. She believes Joe Biden will go down in history as great a president as George Washington. How do these people stay on network television?
And looking holistic to actually engage in planning in a holistic manner.
More intelligent gibberish from the woman who would be president of the United States. That was Kamala yesterday in a softball interview with a lady named Stephanie Ruhle, who is a reporter on MSDNC. Stephanie Ruhle, don't get us wrong, is all in the tank for Kamala Harris. But even Stephanie Ruhle could not hide the shock and awe on her face that she would hand said candidate easy questions that she should be able to knock out of the park And the woman stumbled and bumbled through it because she does not have the capacity to answer questions. It's almost like a mental stumbling block when I listen to her try to. She thinks that if she just says the same word over and over again, it will drive home the point of what she's trying to say. If you just understand that holistically, it needs to be part of the bigger story, and then everything comes together and it's holistic.
Do you think there's like a word of the week that she's given, and this week it happens to be holistic? It's a challenge to see how many times she can say it in an interview?
Maybe. Now, I edited that what you just heard. She did not say holistic back to back to back like that fast, like in 10 seconds. She said it over the course of about 30 seconds. So here's the actual Kamala Harris word salad with Stephanie Ruhle yesterday on MSDNC.
And looking holistically at the connection between that and housing, and looking holistically at the incentives we in the federal government can create for local and state governments to actually engage in planning in a holistic manner that includes prioritizing affordable housing.
It's funny, you know, Stephanie was asking her about, well, you know, you talk about this child tax credit. How are you going to do that? She's like, well, we have to raise the corporate tax. She's like, people need to pay their fair share. And then you hear Stephanie saying she didn't even answer the question. For somebody like Stephanie to say that, even though, like you said, she's all about Kamala and she expressed her support for her basically shortly after this comment I'm talking about. But for her to go out and say she wouldn't even respond to the actual question, I said, that's kind of a big deal.
Go to cut three for us, Carl, where she tries to help Kamala here. She tries to help her out.
Bill Gates just said it this week. If he was in charge of taxes, he would have paid more. But how do you find that line to make sure corporations are paying their fair share, but they're not leaving our country?
Well, listen, I work with a lot of CEOs. I have spent a lot of time with CEOs, and I'm going to tell you that the business leaders who are actually part of the engine of America's economy agree that people should pay their fair share. They also agree that when we look at a plan such as mine that is about investing in the middle class, investing in new industries, investing in bringing down costs, invest in entrepreneurs like small businesses, that the overall economy is stronger and everyone benefits.
You've been in charge for 3.5 years and you haven't done any of the things you just mentioned. Plus, you didn't answer the question. If you set out to penalize the producers, they're going to leave the country. How do you stop them from doing that?
Well, I was raised in a middle class family.
I mean, that's really what I expected to come out of her mouth next.
I can't wait for her to raise the corporate tax rate, and then we all as consumers get to pay more because they're not going to want to shoulder that. They're going to have to find a way to offset those costs. So we end up paying more. Does that not click in her brain?
It doesn't, but I know we're over a little bit here, Carl, but play cut five where Ruhle admitted to Nicole Wallace, well, she really didn't answer the questions.
Talk about that answer. I do, but here's what's a little tricky. She doesn't answer the question around, if the GOP is controlling the Senate, if she can't raise corporate taxes, where is she going to get the money from, to expand the child tax credit and do all the things she wants to do? And she says, we just have to do it. And that's great, and that's a campaign promise. But the issue is, if it means we're just going to borrow again, then what we're doing is we're just never addressing the deficit. And back in the days when you were a proud Republican, debts and deficits mattered.
So Ruhle's admitting that debts and deficits don't matter to Democrats, but what she's doing is going to blow it up even more. I mean, it was a damaging interview that should have been a home run for her on MSNBC. Wow. All right. She is going to the border. That is, she is in Kamala Harris. We're going to talk to Dr. Paula Price about that coming up.
What would a Harris administration do for those communities who've taken in many, many legal immigrants but are at capacity?
Well, first of all, we do have a broken immigration system, and it needs to be fixed. And if we take a step back, months ago, some of the most conservative members of the United States Congress came together with others, proposed a border security bill. Donald Trump killed a bill that would have actually been a solution because he wants to run on a problem instead of fixing a problem. And that's part of what needs to be addressed. And my pledge is that when elected president, if the American people will have me, I will bring that bill back and I will sign it into law. And we need a comprehensive plan that includes what we need to do to fortify not only our border, but deal with the fact that we also need to create
pathways for people to earn citizenship.
The question is, will it all also be holistic, do you think?
And looking holistic to actually engage in planning in a holistic manner.
That's a lot of word salad. That is a lot of word salad right there. That's all I'm saying. Kamala Harris is apparently going back to the border. We got Dr. Paula Price with us this morning, author of the Prophet's Dictionary and founder of Price University. Dr. Price, welcome in.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. What's your reaction when you heard this? Because, you know, I made the point earlier that we hear a lot from the Democratic presidential nominee about what she will do if she's just elected. That ignores the fact that she's been elected for 3.5 years and none of that has happened.
Well, you know, it's interesting because that's what I was just saying. And look, thinking about it, especially for at one point they were trying to scrub her position from the media, information about her being border czar. And that it took so long for her to do it. But my issue is the same as what you just said. If this is your job, what is stopping you? And then my question becomes, are you going to the border as a presidential campaigner, or are you going as the vice president of the United States? How are we supposed to know the difference, and what are we supposed to do with that trip?
Yeah. Yeah, very, very true. And I'm not sure where you stand on this, but you know, I saw her do a pretty softball interview with MSNBC yesterday, and it becomes more obvious every time I see one of these why she doesn't want to go on any media that might seriously challenge her, because she has a really hard time getting to her plan. She talks a lot about her plan, but we don't get a lot of details about what it is she would do differently at the border that she hasn't done the last, 48 months.
You know, first of all, let us both agree, Kamala is terrible in interviews. That means that she's not doing her job, because when you are doing your job, think of you as a newscaster. You can sit down and have coffee with someone in an hour, and you can rattle off your job and rattle off the things you do, 1, 2, 3, because it's inside you and you do it. She's not doing this. She's living by script. She's campaigning by script. And obviously, there are times that her memory fails her. So, she doesn't have a plan because someone is giving her a plan, and she hasn't bought into it because, well, she doesn't know it.
I agree. Dr. Price, this is Kim. You know, going back to that bill, we all know as conservatives the reason why that did not go through, and that's because it was very misleading, that it really wasn't going to do much at all to stop the current problem there in the border. So she can sit here and want to blame Donald Trump and say, oh, he was talking to the Congress members and telling him to shut it down, and that's why it didn't go through. But that's a lie. And the problem is, a lot of these liberals who want to vote for her are never going to hear that side of the story.
Well, unfortunately, a lot of what Kamala does, no one will hear. Think about it. Until we got to this point, let's say the last 30 days or so, Kamala was like persona non grata. She was the whore. She was the drunkard. She was the this. She was the that. And now you can't find any of that on the internet. I went looking for the articles about her being border czar, and I had 5 or 6 of them. I go back and look at, they're gone. Mm-hmm. They have taken them down. You can't find them. Here's the point that really, really grieves me, and I really pray that the American people are not as dense as they are trying to make us appear, because the Democratic Party, A, hates America. B, anybody who's going to put up a failure in one job and then put them up to win the campaign to get a promotion, that is a really dense organization. But that is a very hateful institution to do that. This woman has failed. That's like your vice president of your company saying, guess what, I'm going to be chairman of the board next month. And your vice president hasn't brought in a dime.
You've been very outspoken as a black woman and a conservative yourself. Do you think are you surprised at some of the inroads Donald Trump's made with particularly black men?
Well, no, I'm not, because you know, first of all, if we're going to go that direction, I'm going to be 30 seconds of blunt, and that is this: it's hard for a black woman to be respected in any capacity. Anyway, that's just, you know, like we have the pecking order of the quote-unquote underdog. So if you're going to be a black woman, you got to be a superstar. Black men also are upset with the Democratic Party, period. All of the lies, the broken promises, et cetera. But they also feel like, wait a minute, I got fired for less than what this woman is doing, and you want me to make her my president.
Wow. Yeah, that's powerful. Dr. Price, where can people find out more about you and your book that you've got out?
Well, my website is drpaulaprice.com, where you'll find about the Prophet's Dictionary. And just as a little shameful plug, I'm putting out a new edition in December, which is almost double the one that's out there.
The Prophet's Dictionary. Dr. Paula Price, we appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, too.
Absolutely. Bye-bye. Yeah, she's an author. She's a pastor out in Oklahoma. And that looks like a powerful book as well. Check it out. Coming up, we'll get to Tom Ackerman, ask him a little bit about the rough start to the Blues preseason. We'll be right back.
A great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's, reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
All right, let's go Blues, Tom Ackerman. What's going on there,
you
buddy?
Ready? You ready to start the hockey season?
We are.
You have to say we went Blues.
We went Blues.
We went Blues last year. Now it's time to go Blues. It's time to go Blues again. Thank you, Brett. Yeah,
never gets old.
It's time to go.
It will never get old.
Sad last night. You know, they had a moment of silence for Johnny Gaudreau, Johnny Hockey.
That soul situation is so sad.
Yeah. They did. His number was 13, so they had a 13-second moment of silence last night before the game. The Blues played in Columbus. So it was the first game at Nationwide Arena since Gaudreau's passing. And they lost the game 3-0. It's preseason. I think the Blues have an advantage here in that they have an experienced Stanley Cup winning goaltender. I think I say this every year, but I do like the supporting cast a little bit better now than I did. Jordan Binnington's a good one. We all know that, and I think they've surrounded him with a lot of speed and youth and a nice mix of veteran leadership. I don't know that they're a Stanley Cup contender necessarily, but I do think this team could be a playoff contender with everybody staying healthy, of course. One of the reasons I think that is the emergence of Robert Thomas. I think he is a legitimate star in this league, and I think that they have added and increased their depth on the blue line. I think this Philip Broberg that they picked up from Edmonton is the real deal.
Big guy.
Yeah, I really like him. And I think that they will be better there. I'm sorry for Torrey Krug that he has to go through what he has to go through injury-wise, but it did create an opportunity for them to go grab a young player like Broberg, who I think is going to be legit. That said, you know, they have a lot to prove. I mean, this is Drew Bannister's first year as coach full-time. And while they're building for the future, they're kind of a year ahead of where the Cardinals are, where they admitted to their fan base that they're not doing it the right way anymore. They need to reload and get younger and stronger and deeper and hang with us. We're going to contend, but we're not there yet. And the Blues fans, I think, appreciated that transparency and have moved forward with the team. And they're going to sell out most of their games, and they're going to have a good old time down there at 14th and Clark.
Yeah. Well, good. Yeah. Carl, how are you feeling about the season?
The first preseason game at home is this Saturday. That game is at 6, by the way. So they've moved their Saturday games to 6 o'clock so people can get out of the city quicker.
That's cool. Against the Hawks. Well, good luck with all the traffic because at 7:30, City's going to be playing next door against Sporting KC.
Oh, yeah.
That game sold out.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Absolutely.
No kidding.
Got the NHRA races out at Worldwide Technology this weekend, Worldwide Technology Raceway. The Billikens are going to have their big basketball showcase tomorrow night at Chaffetz, introducing their teams. So there's a lot going on.
Midnight Madness, so to speak.
Kind of early Midnight Madness in a way. Yeah, all these teams are coming out with their things. And that one's free, open to the public to go see SLU. I think SLU's going to be pretty good. So we'll see. The women will be good, too. But that men's team has an offense I think people are going to really enjoy.
Yeah. Going back to City, I was trying, I think it was yesterday, Mark, talking about the CONCACAF. I can't even say it. It was it was like 15 words that
the
like
U.S. men's CONCACAF
Nations League. They're bringing it to St. Louis. I mean, that's a big deal, though, right?
Yeah, and also because it's an actual like critical game for them on November 18th. So it's not just a friendly, which I like. any time you get to see the national team is great. But seeing him with a little something on the line is pretty cool.
We just don't know who their opponent will be, right? Because that's not going to be determined until, I think it's like, what, mid-October, I thought I read?
I don't remember the date on that, but yeah. And it's great. I mean, it's a great venue. We're going to see City Park be utilized in the future. And it was part of the reason for doing all of this is that they could attract soccer events and other. You won't see concerts there, but you will see soccer events there and things of that sort. And then I do wonder in 2026, when the World Cup hits North America, what our role will be. Will we be a training site for one of these teams? Will we be, you know, attractive in that way? I would think so. With all of the amenities they have right there, everything is all in one place. Looks pretty good to me.
My kid just went to Kansas City and attended a game at the first facility ever built just for a women's professional soccer team.
Yeah.
And he said it was pretty amazing. Same vibe as the men's up here with St. Louis City.
Yeah, very cool. Yeah. You know, soccer has really exploded in this town, and you see kids wearing soccer jerseys, and it's a lot of fun. What they're doing over at City Park is really great. And by the way, St. Louis University has a pretty good stadium too, and those men's and women's programs are moving. I mean, they are recruiting those kids right here in St. Louis. So they are also taking advantage of the St. Louis surge in this sport.
I know you got to roll out of here in a minute. Any reaction to your friend Ben over at the Post calling for saying it's time for Mo to go?
Hockman, yeah. I saw the column. I think this is a common feeling among Cardinals fans that John Mozeliak's time has run its course. I think that what I'll tell you is he's under contract through 2025. He's already said that he is going to put a succession plan in place. I don't know how soon that will happen, if this is going to be a transition year or if they're just going to go clean with another person running baseball operations. But you can count on John Mozeliak being under contract. He's already said he's not going anywhere. So whether they move it and announce this succession plan, and he guides that and helps that person kind of make that transition, whether that's Heim Bloom, who's already an advisor in the organization, or something else, we'll see. But I think what you're going to see fairly soon is the Cardinals, just what I told you about the Blues, the Cardinals sitting down in front of the media and in front of their fans and saying, here is what we are doing. And I think it's really important to have that messaging to your fan base. This is a massive fan base, very smart, very passionate. They need to know what is going on. Yep. And if the Cardinals just do that, I think that's the first step. And of course, they need to win. We got it. But they have to get to their fan base and say, this is what we are doing. And be very clear. And you have to promote your stars, and you have to give them some optimism, but don't lead them down the wrong path. Tell them what's going on. And I think you're going to see that here pretty soon from the Cardinals.
Yeah, I hope so. I agree with you completely on that. I know you got to run out of here. I appreciate
your
time.
Yeah, I got a sportscast at 6:45. Yeah, I could stay with you guys.
You've got a minute and a half.
I could stay. I do have a little time.
Is Goldschmidt gone?
I think so, but I don't know so. I mean, they could bring him back on a one-year deal. And if they feel like that's good for them, as long as he's not blocking somebody. You know, that's the thing. I wonder if there's another team out there that has a chance to go win a championship next year, if he'd be attracted to that, and if somebody would sign him. The Cardinals might not compete with that. They might just let him go. Because, again, the Cardinals are trying to create pathways for young players to be great. Goldschmidt, I'm not sure that he has a chance to go back to what he used to be. I think Arenado might get closer to doing that next year if he can really lock down. But Goldschmidt, to me, just doesn't look like the same. And, you know, like we always say, Father Time is undefeated.
No, it's true.
So good it point. It just is what it is.
That's right. All right,
I'm going to go talk sports.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah,
appreciate
you.
Bye, Tom.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah. So at least he admitted it. By the way, I know we're just talking sports here, but I'm looking up here, and I'd almost forgotten. Thank you for reminding me, both of you, that they're interviewing Melania Trump right now on Fox and Friends this morning. Let's pull a little bit of that up here, Carl.
Trying to do that.
Please, if the board is working properly.
It says
here.
TV, so of course, then when I put up TV, you'd think it would come up.
Not working?
Here we go. Children that we are working to give them an example how life is, that they see us, that we are productive, that we have an ideas, that ideas comes to life. And that's how we're showing to Baron.
And did you and Donald Trump, did you ever talk about having more children? Did you want a larger family?
I was always perfectly fine with one. Mm-hmm. And Donald was encouraging to have more. And I said, like, I'm completely fine with one because it's very busy life. And I know how busy he is, and I'm in charge of everything. So that's why it's just perfect.
So Donald was on Brian Kilmeade's show last weekend, and Brian was asking him about your relationship, and he said, you know, Brian, she really, really does love me. So what do you love most about your husband?
He's a humor, his personality, his kindness, he's very special. His positivity, his energy, it's unbelievable. So we have a beautiful relationship. We see these.
Yeah, there you have it. That's Melania. You'll be able to watch that, I'm sure, on replay as she sits down and talks with the Ainsley there on Fox and Friends this morning. What, any immediate reaction?
Well, I know there's been a lot of speculation about their relationship, and that's why there are so many questions about it. Do I think it's a loving marriage? I don't know if I'm really one to judge. I don't know if I actually believe that. I want to believe that. Does it really matter ultimately? I mean, no. I need somebody who's going to run the country well.
Yeah.
But I hope for their sake that it's a loving marriage.
I think so. Did you, and to hear the woman expressing herself like that in her fifth language is even more impressive.
I know. Consider people want to ream her. That woman is so intelligent.
A successful immigrant who speaks five languages. How are you standing up against that,
Mark,
would be my claim.
You have like five accents, though.
Well, you know, that's true. Thank you for pointing that out.
You're welcome.
We're going to be back with In Other News with the birthday boy in just a minute. Stay tuned.
Happening.
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
Well, Ethan, happy birthday, my friend.
Well, thank you guys. I appreciate
happy birthday.
It.
That's
what,
awesome.
It's your birthday today, Ethan?
It is.
I'm kidding.
We didn't know that.
Well,
but I did
happy
bring
birthday
you some
when I walked
donuts
in.
For your birthday.
You did, and they were delicious.
All right. I'm glad we got you off on the right foot this
Wait,
morning.
can I just toot his own horn for him for a second? Because I know he won't. It's his birthday. Mark brings him donuts in, and he's trying to offer the other donuts to all of us because he's like, well, I know you like this one. We're like, no, Ethan, it's your birthday. You pick the
you
one that
you
pick want.
Your own donut.
That's how kind Aww. Ethan is.
I'm just not
just
a bubble.
Just so you all know. Well, also that. Your choice of words, not mine, Ethan.
Oh, ask my friends. They know I am. Let's start with heart. Ann Wilson took to her social media. If you remember a couple months ago, I did a story that Ann Wilson, she was diagnosed cancer. With cancer. And she dropped out of the tour with Cheap Trick. Well, she got on her social media posts, and she is saying she's doing absolutely fine now. She went through chemotherapy. She said it's been, to put it mildly, a lot of chemo is no joke, which... if you've been through it, you know that's true. But
they were supposed to be here next Friday.
Yeah.
And then they announced a whole bunch of new dates to make up for those shows. St. Louis is not on that list currently.
Boo to that.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
So the announcement was she's coming back.
Yes. Yeah, they announced a whole bunch of new dates to make up for the shows that they lost, but we are not on that list yet.
Okay.
I think she's taking off the rest of this year, and they will be back on tour in 2025, is the way they put it.
Good.
I don't know if you've seen this or not. This is kind of the b-hole of the day. The Pittsburgh Pirates, their first baseman, Roddy Tells, he was just four plate appearances short of earning $200,000 for a performance bonus. Well, they released him on Tuesday. Four short.
Ooh.
So he did not get to make it.
Has he got four games left?
They had six games left, and they cut him. They DFA'd him.
Woo!
Just so he wouldn't get his $200,000 bonus.
That's
allegedly,
management.
But yeah.
Yeah, that's some good management. They were thinking ahead.
I feel sorry for that guy. More sports. Matthew Sluka. He's the starting quarterback for the undefeated UNLV Rebels. He announced his decision to leave the team due to unfulfilled commitments made to him upon his transfer. Sluka is a senior who joined UNLV from Holy Cross. He shared the news on Instagram and X, stating he will utilize his redshirt year and not participate in any further games this season. So what had happened was, apparently a assistant coach told him he would be getting $100,000, and that was not delivered. He's only gotten $3,000 so far, so he is walking.
In NIL money, right?
Apparently he can.
That's how they ruin sports.
I was going to say, this is what's going to happen more and more. This is just the beginning of it.
Can you promise them?
You promised me.
Oh, I'm sure they promised everything.
$300,000 and you didn't come through.
I'm sure this was going on long before the NIL stuff, too.
Hey, leave Kentucky out of this. I'm just saying, we liked it the way it was before.
And that's how, wasn't it?
When Kentucky nobody won talked uncontested.
About it. Nobody talked about it.
Well, now they're airing their grievances.
Leave the alumni alone.
If you're looking for a job, UPS announced yesterday that it intends to hire over 125,000 employees to handle deliveries this holiday season. The package delivery giant said in a post on its website that nearly 75% of its seasonal jobs do not require an interview, and applicants can get a job offer in just 10 minutes. The company said that it's looking for commercial drivers, licensed drivers, seasonal delivery drivers, and package handlers. If you work for UPS and you get somebody hired, you're going to get a $250 bonus. And if you want to know how much they're going to get, package handlers are going to get about $21 an hour. The other two delivery drivers are about $23 an hour.
Wow.
So you just need a CDL. You don't need an interview. You just walk in and boom, here's the job.
I think they do like a 10-minute interview online.
You have a CDL?
Yes.
You legal? Actually, we won't even ask that question. Doesn't matter.
This is kind of a crazy one. Two former nurses face charges for allegedly taking and sharing inappropriate pictures of patients. This was at Independence Health Westmoreland Hospital. I believe that's just outside of Pittsburgh. Both are accused of invasion of privacy, harassment, and other offenses HIPAA? After a group text among hospital employees revealed improper patient care.
Oh, that is like a fear of mine. Not that I've been in that really situation, but I don't know. It's like Airbnbs, secret cameras, hotel rooms, and creepy... It's just...
Yeah, I could see that. Or you're in there getting ready for a procedure. You're in the little robe that doesn't close in the back, and they say, "Hey, aren't you on TV?"
You that ready for your colonoscopy, Mark?
Yeah, that happened to me one time. That's not the situation you want to be in. All right, coming up, we'll get to former Senator Jim Talent, and we'll check in on that hurricane situation down in Florida. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.